Christian Crusaders warmly welcomes each of our listeners today. Our service will be conducted by the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Information on how to order tapes or printed copies of today's sermon will be shared at the close of the service. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday and worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. The Bible teaches that apologizing is not the same as repenting. We'll discuss the difference in the sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. God in heaven, we thank you for this day in which we are permitted to hear your word. We pray, Holy Spirit, that through that word you will work to convict us of our sins and to show us what repentance is all about. And then, O God, we pray that we may be assured that in Christ our sins are forgiven and we are yours forever and ever. Hear our prayer, we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Hear the word of God as it is recorded in the 27th chapter of the Gospel of St. Matthew, beginning with verse 3. When Judas, who had betrayed Jesus, saw that he was condemned, he was seized with remorse and returned the 30 silver coins to the chief priests and the elders. "I have sinned," he said, "for I have betrayed innocent blood." "What is that to us?" they replied. "That's your responsibility." So Judas threw the money into the temple and left, and then he went away and hanged himself. Here ends the reading of God's holy word.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will blessing fall on me. I
Friends in Christ. The Arizona Republic recently carried the story of Patrick Poland, who had been convicted of murder. The day before his execution, Poland said, "I want to say I'm sorry. I've lived with this every day, and I wish I could go back in time and correct what was done. I hope that everyone can accept my apology, understand me, and forgive me." But despite Poland's remorse and passionate plea to spare his life, the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency voted 4-1 to go ahead with Poland's execution. He died by lethal injection the next day. That same day, my wife and I attended a Lenten service in one of our churches in the Mesa area. There we witnessed an emotional presentation of Judas and his betrayal of Jesus. When Judas saw that Jesus was going to be crucified, and when he fully understood that he had a big part in that crucifixion, he did not know which way to turn. He began to see that he had done wrong. And so he made his way to the priests and said, "I have sinned, for I have betrayed innocent blood." That is an apology. You could even say that it is a confession. He in no way is trying to defend himself. He is simply saying, "I have sinned." Pretty clear. Wouldn't you call that repentance? No. Not yet. Both stories, that of Mr. Poland and that of Judas, sends a strong message that apologizing is not the same as repenting. We can be ever so apologetic about our sins and not be repentant. And the Bible says that without repentance, there is no forgiveness. Now let's take a look at this person, Judas, and see what we can learn from him. Learn why his case is so terribly pathetic. Learn how it could have been entirely different even after he had committed the sin. It is pretty obvious that Judas had no grasp of what Jesus' mission was all about. But when it became clear to this apostle that Christ's kingdom was not of this world, and he would not be one of the benefactors of a prestigious position in that kingdom, he decided he had to do something to get what he could out of the ordeal. No matter how little it might be, Judas saw that he could salvage at least 30 pieces of silver. And after all, Jesus had taken 3 years of his life. And so it must have been with some final satisfaction that he made the deal with the high priest that he would sell Jesus for that amount of money. Now, in just a short time, he begins to understand what he has done. And he sees himself as guilty, for Jesus now was a condemned person. He was going to die, and Judas had had a big part in it. He looked at the money. The money no longer had any real appeal to him. He took it to the priest. They didn't want it. They told him that money that had been used to buy the life of a person could not be used in the temple, and so they gave it back to him. And then it is that Judas goes and throws this money into the temple. So they went out and bought a field with it, called the Potter's Field, and that's where the poor and others who had no burial plot could be laid to rest. From this tragic life of Judas, we learn that apologizing, remorse, and even confession do not add up to repentance, which brings forgiveness alone. This was what Judas, along with millions of others in every age, have never understood. And I think that it is well for us today to ask ourselves, do we understand the difference between apologizing for a wrong and repenting? If we have done something that we should never have done, and we get out of quick, well, I'm sorry that I did it. I shouldn't have done it. Is that the same as repenting? Is that what the Bible really means when it talks about repenting? No, it isn't, friend. No, it isn't. Had Judas taken the final step after showing remorse and had confessed his sins and turned to Jesus Christ, the Lord would have forgiven the betrayer. Did you notice what I just added on the basis of Scripture? That repentance is sorrow. Repentance is confession. But what makes repentance repentance is that the person turns to Christ. And there in the presence of Christ, he makes his sins known. And as a result of that, God is willing to forgive him. Now you may say, well, basically that probably is generally true. But aren't you going just a little bit too far? After all, he sold the Son of God and the Savior of the world to the enemy. Yeah, it is true that there are all kinds of sins around. And maybe God is willing to forgive all of them. But does there not come a time when it's just a little bit too much? Well, let's take a look. Here was David, the king of Israel. David was the person who committed adultery with the beautiful woman Bathsheba. And then he killed her husband. And when the prophet Nathan came, what was it that David said after Nathan had convicted him of his sin? He said, I have sinned against God. Interesting, isn't it? I have to confess that there have been times when I have read that passage of Scripture and have thought, well, didn't he sin against Bathsheba? Didn't he sin against Uriah? But David had it right. David knew what repentance was all about. He had to bring that sin to the throne of God's grace. And it was only after God had extended his grace and his forgiveness that there could be any peace in David's heart. Take Peter. I think we can put the whole story together. It says that after Peter denied Jesus, he went out and wept bitterly. That was perhaps a repentant heart, but it wasn't repentance. And it wasn't until Peter got into the presence of Jesus, and if not before that, then certainly at the Sea of Tiberias, he laid it all before the Lord. Somehow, some way, Peter confessed that sin. And what is it that Jesus does? He says to him, Peter, go on out and feed my lambs and my sheep. And with those words, he is saying to him, I can use you. I forgive you your sins. Now let's start life over again, and you be a dynamic witness for me, Peter. And he let him preach the sermon on Pentecost Sunday. And he let him write books that got into the Bible. And he became a dynamic witness for Jesus in the whole area of that place where he lived. The biblical basis for the forgiveness of Judas's sin is in the parable that Jesus taught of the prodigal son. You remember how that man gradually slipped away bit by bit by bit. And finally he was away from his father's house and he was in the pig pen. And there he came to himself. And what is it that he says? I have sinned against my father. I will arise, and I will go to my father. He was planning to be his father's servant. But here's a picture of the father standing there on the porch, waiting for that son to come home. And when he sees his image in the far distance, he runs and embraces him and receives him in. For my son who was dead is alive, who is lost is found. That, my friend, is grace. And that was a parable that came from the lips of none other than our blessed Savior, who is anxious to bestow his saving grace and the forgiveness of sins on anybody who will come in repentance and faith and trust him as Savior and Lord. But there's a whale of a lot of difference between doing that and simply giving a flippant, "I'm sorry," and then say, "Well, I apologize for what I did that was wrong." Joseph Stump has written a great definition of repentance. It's so simple. Repentance is that act of the Holy Spirit by which, through the law and the gospel, God works a change of mind in the sinner's heart so that he or she comes to contrition of his or her sins and to faith in the Lord Jesus as his or her personal Savior. You see the difference? Let me emphasize it once again. Repentance means that I am sorry, that I do confess my sin, but then I take it first to the Lord Jesus Christ and ask him to forgive me my sins. Apologies can be human acts, trying to express regrets for what we have done. But repentance is coming to the foot of the cross and pleading for God's grace and for his forgiveness. First, we seek the forgiveness that God can give, and then after we have done that, we're on our way to forgive those whom we have sinned. Let's imagine that a spouse really hurts the husband or the wife. What does he or she do? According to the scriptures, first, that spouse had better clear it with God. "God, that which I have done to that person I love so dearly is wrong. Will you forgive me? I trust you, Lord Jesus." And believing with all your heart that he does forgive that sin, then it is you go and write it with that spouse. Just think of what Judas could have become. Let's imagine on that night when his eyes were suddenly opened, they saw him leading Jesus away, and he thought they're going to condemn him. What if he had gone out into the darkness of that night and pondered it all, instead of taking his own life? What if somewhere along the way, during those 40 days, whether he was with the other disciples or not, it matters not, he had had a confrontation with Jesus between the resurrection and the ascension? And he had said to his Lord, "You know, Lord, we traveled together for 3 years, and there were times that I was very high on the idea of your kingdom. But then there were other times that I wanted to try to straighten you out. But that night, my whole life came apart. I had 30 pieces of silver in my hand, and that's what I considered that you were worth to me. But Lord, when you were dying on that cross, I was standing far away and I realized he's dying there for none other than Judas. And without that suffering and death, I would be lost, God. But I heard you say to one person after another, whoever comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. Lord Jesus, I come." What do you think Jesus would have said? I'll tell you what he would have said. On the basis of what he has revealed in the Word of God, he would have hurried on to have said, "Judas, I grant you the forgiveness of your sin. You are forgiven." And he wouldn't have said to him, "You got to make it up now, Judas." Not at all. He would have said, "I forgive you. Now, Judas, you go out and serve me." And what a preacher that man would have been. I wonder if there might not have been a gospel according to Judas. I wonder if there would not have been at least one more book in the New Testament written by Judas. And I can just see Judas standing there before the masses and crying out, "Look, Peter denied him, that's right. But I betrayed him. And he granted me the forgiveness of my sin." The tragedy of Judas is that he did not turn to Jesus Christ. And the tragedy, people, of many who are found with guilt today is that they try to carry it themselves, and at the most have a cheap apology. What Christ is crying out for today is that you will come to the throne of grace. A broken and a contrite heart God will not despise. But it is not enough just to apologize. It is with a contrite heart that we come to Christ. And there he has promised that he will abundantly pardon, and your life can begin anew. For the Christian, this is a daily experience. For we all know that we have sinned. Apologizing, my friend, is not the same as repenting. For repenting leads you to Jesus. Amen. Lord Jesus, we thank you for that love that is willing to forgive even the greatest of sins. Help us, O Lord, not to be satisfied with only a cheap apology that will bring no peace at all, but grant that we may understand what genuine repentance is all about. Lead us to the foot of the cross, and we pray, Heavenly Father, that the message of that gospel will ring so clearly that the masses of people today may come to understand what lies between me and real peace is a personal relationship with God, to whom I may come with all my sins. Bless us to that end. We ask it in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray that the light of God's Word, revealed in Pastor Larson's gospel message, will outshine all sorrow and suffering and will enrich your life. Christian Crusaders has been sharing the Word of God over the airways since September 6, 1936. A few of you heard that first broadcast. God has blessed this ministry through your prayers and your gifts. Our mission is simply to proclaim Jesus Christ as Redeemer of the world and our personal Savior. We thank you, our faithful donors and listeners, for allowing us the privilege of serving you. Cassette tapes or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. However, a gift of $2.50 will help defray mailing and production costs. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Our toll-free phone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 266-7589. Christian Crusaders invites you to learn more about our ministry on the Internet. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. That's Christian Crusaders, all one word, .org. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and radio pastor of Christian Crusaders for the past 38 years.